Sabbath blessings, everybody. If you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, and we love you. We thank you for blessing us with another beautiful Sabbath day. We thank you for keeping us safe throughout the week in your hedge of angels that have always been about us, even when we sleep. And we thank you for keeping us safe, especially when we're working on the house, on the roof and everything, so that no one had any mishaps or slips and falls. And Father, we pray that you forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and open our eyes to any sins that we're doing that offend you. And thank you for winking in our times of ignorance and helping us grow day by day. Thank you for blessing all those that are helping us do this work that you've called us to do. Bless them financially, spiritually, and physically in the way that they bless us, in the ways that you promised. And we also thank you, Father, for blessing your Son's bride, this final church. Give us the strength and the courage that we need to go through the days ahead. And thank you for letting us have eyes that see what's going on now with some of the strange things that are happening in the other countries that are heading this way. And we thank you for blessing all those on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and sick and ailing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a quick announcement before we start. Anybody that's using Macintosh already told us to Mimi last night. I'm going to try and help Mimi out with the PC she has because it's not working for some reason. I just got word the other day because we were having problems with the audio chat server with some of the problems, you know, with Macintosh things, and it turns out the new audio software for the church is not going to be using, it's not going to be within probably 3 to 6 months, if at all, going to be able to be used on a Macintosh. This audio chat software doesn't even work properly on a Macintosh. You can't speak using a Mac on here, but you can hear and type. That's what's strange. But the new software will not have it. And the bad news is, praise the Lord I called, because they probably would have just shut it off, but around mid-October, they're shutting down the V4 server. That's what we're using right now, which means if you have a Macintosh, you're not going to be able to get in anymore at all. So I'm hoping and praying anybody that has a Mac that they also have an old PC laying around. You don't need much speed to use this. Just have it, you know, hooked up like on a network or something if you can. And again, Mimi, after Sabbath, if you can give me a call, I'll try to help you whatever's going wrong with your computer. And hopefully get you online. Okay. We're still in Last Day Events, chapter 12. Yep. For those of you that actually have the book, we're on page 157. We're on manuscript 49, November 3rd, 1894. You know, I always got a bad spot with this. You know, I think there's a thing that will screw, you know, the little feet screw down. Right. They do screw down, but see if you can get... Do they... The one in the front. No, the one in the front.
None of them screw.
They don't screw? They're not adjustable?
Mm-hmm. You have to put skins under them.
Oh, man. I thought it was adjustable. Oh, well. I'll just try and find a good spot. Okay. Manuscript 49, November 3rd, 1894. And I'm sorry we started late. We had a crash on the Shoutcast server last night. And right before the service started, Rich, I believe it is, in Indiana, sent me a PM saying that there's nothing but a bunch of loud noise on the radio. And all that was a loopback from the crash last night. It didn't crash today. It's just that when I started the church service on the other computer, it still had the crash running through its memory. And so I had to reboot that system. And it's working fine now, so... Okay, manuscript 49, November 3rd, 1894. Somebody here? No?
Go ahead.
Sounds like a truck. Oh, and by the way, Dick and Elaine are here.
Nick and Sherry.
Oh, Nick and Sherry are here. Praise the Lord. Our little grandson's here today. Small little human. The dog's going to bark. We're babysitting one of the dogs, and so he likes to bark a lot, or she likes to bark a lot, so. So that's about 120 pounds of dog meat right there. The dog does need to go on a diet, though. Okay, they'll calm down in a minute. I'm just going to put like a little, I'll tape something to the bottom of one of these. I'm pretty sure they screw down, though. At least I thought they did. Right. Give us a minute, folks. Okay, now my son's here and his wife and the little baby. All right, we'll start here in a minute. Sorry, folks, unexpected. Manuscript 49, November 3rd, 1894. It says, "Whosoever killeth you, think that he doeth God's service," in John 16:2. That is a terrible deception that comes on human minds. But here he has shown you the plan of the battle. He tells you what you are to meet. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places," Ephesians 6:12. So when you see these people on your front lawn, or you see people, you know, like when the day comes when they're going to be on your front lawn, or out in front of the cave that you're hiding in, or if you're in jail in a dungeon or whatever the case may be, keep in mind that had they known the truth, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. They'd be in the jail with you, or they're in the cave with you, or in your home with you. So the love that you have for others would still be strong if you could keep that mindset. Just like Christ hanging on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Keep in mind who you are fighting against. It is Satan and all his minions. Going on, it says, "This is what we have to meet." Then what does he say? "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand," verses 11 to 13, "you are to fight as in the presence of the universe of heaven. You are to fight the battles of the Lord." Then he tells you that the angels that excel in strength are the warriors there. He tells you that as the captain of the Lord's host, he is there. They are to do the warring. They're going to take care of everything. So, "You are to stand in the army of God, and they will gain for you the victory. They will give you power," or "they will give power to everyone that is fighting the battles of the Lord, to the very gate. The power of God shall be upon every soldier who is true and who will bear hardness as a good soldier. See, that's one of the main reasons we have to draw nigh. We have to get as close as we can to the Father. If we don't have that experience, if we don't love Him as we should, how can we be a good soldier? How can we have that experience with Him? How can we trust Him? Or how can we fight this fight? How can we wouldn't even be able to stand. That's why we have to have the armor on, as a soldier would. Going on, "But we cannot meet the evil angels and overcome them. It is the divine power. It is the partaking of the divine nature." And that's in our part, the divine nature. That's why Jesus came to this world, to give us an inkling as to how it can be done in these human bodies. He didn't cheat, you know. He put his Godhead off to the side, and he stood there as a man when he asked that water, when he has to feed a calm or raise the dead or heal the sick or whatever the case may be. So it is our partaking of the divine nature that's going to get this job done. It's Christ, our righteousness, not our righteousness, but Christ. That baby's all of a sudden got some real good lungs, huh? Who was the baby that was? Oh, that was Ava, the other, our other grandchild, the granddaughter that has that. It's a silent cry. All of a sudden, she'll have a sad face. She'll be pushing. You can tell, and all of a sudden, it'll just come out like that. One little, every now and then, it's just it's so cute. Small humans, you gotta love them. All right, finishing up, it says, when we are caught up to meet Him, Christ, and enter through the pearly gates into the city of God, He leads us by the living waters. And all the time He is educating and talking with us about the things that He would have open to our understanding upon the earth if we could have borne it. So, there is a reason He wrote the scriptures. There is a reason He speaks to us. He sends the angels. He has His Holy Spirit prodding our hearts. We are diamonds in the rough. And we really, if we understood, because 1 Corinthians 13 does say that we look through a glass darkly. But I'm praying for such a faith that, like Elijah had, because we're going to be coming in the spirit of Elijah anyway, so why not have that type of faith where he could see, you know, the angels on the fiery horses, the flaming horses, to fight off the enemy that was coming against him and his understudy. And then Elijah asking, Lord, you know, please open the eyes of this young man. And then he saw them too. That would help a lot in the way of people having crises of faith. But still, with a crisis of faith, it's better to have faith than to allow the eyes to be, you know, that comes later on in the walk. That's on a whole different plateau of Christianity. Because the devil will take advantage of the situation. He'll put things before the eyes of people so as to make them think they have a mighty faith. Our Lady of Fatima in 1917 is living proof of that. Most of the Catholic, well, all the Catholics believe in these apparitions, and it's all because of what the devil puts before their eyes. It's never what the Lord puts before their heart that moves them.
Nick, maybe you should say their Lady of Fatima.
Yeah. I know, that's right. It's how it's called, Our Lady of Fatima. That's how it's called. That's the term she gave herself. But yeah, it's their Lady of Fatima. Amen to that. It's their Lady of Fatima. It's not ours. So I apologize for that. It's that old Catholic upbringing, I guess. That word "our" still in there, you know. It's only been 21 years, so it'll take a little while to get all that stuff off of me. But yeah, I have no doubt that that's a demon, and I know she's not my lady. I do uplift, you know. I do understand that Mary is blessed above all women because of what she did, but she's not floating in some grotto. She's in the grave waiting for her son to wake her up. All right, letter 7, 1895, says, we are not to be bribed or to attain the world's favor by bowing to the laws of men and setting aside the law of God. We are not to be brought in bondage to the world, and yet we are in the world to live as long as God shall permit. And even Jesus said in his prayer in John 17, I pray that you take them not out of the world. He knew that we had to stay here, you know, to some extent, to live here. You know, let us have the strength while we're in it. Going on, it says, and the Lord has given us special work to do to save the world. In this, the closing period of the earth's history, let not men be careless in words or acts. Let them not indulge a masterful spirit and provoke the wrath of their enemies. Let not any soul who claims to believe the truth give others occasion to conclude that he is not a Christian because he walks, or rather he talks and acts like a sinner. You know, because I've run into people that have claimed Christ Lord, and James 1:26 says, if you can't bridle your tongue, your religion's, you know, religion's vain. In other words, you're just lip service. You know, you're not, because I know people that have foul mouths and use angry words. And I'm not talking about, when I say a foul mouth, I'm talking vulgarities and, you know, and a lot of the four-letter words have a lot of vulgar terms. But some of the four-letter words that we call four-letter words today are not really swear words. Okay? It's like some people will consider them normal words, but in other circles, you know what I'm talking about. There's some words that some families will say that that's not considered a four-letter word, but other families would consider it was. And we'll just leave it at that. But there are some words that we understand that are vulgar and stuff like that. And even angry words, stuff like that, is what she's talking about here. Going on, it says, there are many who never had the light. They are deceived by their teachers. They have not received the mark of the beast. and have not, and they have not received the mark of the beast. Okay, let me reread this. There are many who have never had the light. They are deceived by their teachers, and they have not received the mark of the beast. The Lord is working with them. He has not left them to their own ways until they shall be convicted of the truth and trample upon the evidence given to enlighten them. The Lord will not withdraw his grace from them. And I praise the Lord for his long-suffering in that regard and the fact that he winks at our times of ignorance, because a lot of people, like I know I did, I kicked and screamed all the way to Christianity. I didn't want to leave the Catholic Church, and, you know, I don't want to hear what the other people were saying about it and stuff like that. And certain aspects of my life, too, I didn't want to give up. I kicked and screamed the whole way.
Most of us resist change.
Yeah, exactly. That is a fact there. I know I did. And I know a lot of Christians, we're all, like I said, diamonds in the rough, you know, and we're constantly growing. Some of them, I've known people that have been Christians for years, and they're having a little bit harder time changing in some areas that others had. And so keep them in your prayers. But the thing is, the Lord will not withdraw his grace until we make an absolute, overwhelming sign or evidence that, look, I understand what you're saying about the Sabbath, or I understand what you're saying about the law, or I understand what you're saying about Christianity in general. I just don't want nothing to do with it. When it gets to that point, then the Lord will literally withdraw, and it'll be all she wrote for them. Going on, it says, let none who have received the truth cherish the spirit of the Pharisees and make it appear prominent that they want nothing from the power that be. God does not give any such burden. We may make a very hard time for ourselves and bring reproach upon the cause of God if we feel that we are to put on the armor in battle to arouse the combative spirit of our enemies and to provoke them to fight and destroy. Our influence is to be of such a character that we shall not unnecessarily stir up angry feelings and arouse the enmity of those who do not believe as we do. And I'll admit I had a problem with this in the beginning when I first started, especially on the street when I did street preaching and that, because people would yell at me. Like if I'd be, you know, talking to them about Christ or evidence about the Catholic Church being evil and all this other stuff, and they would just read me the riot act, and of course, their blood gets up, they got my blood up, and I'd be yelling back. I remember the one guy that when I did some, I stopped at that one church in Danville to pick up those pews. Sean was with me, and the guy asked me to step to the pulpit because I didn't even know they were doing a church service. It was a Wednesday night thing. And I had nothing prepared, so I just talked about what's going to happen next in regards to prophecy. And one of the guys that was a street preacher came up and wanted to go out street preaching with me and says, okay, let's do it. And so we got on the phone one night, remember, about 1 or 2 o'clock in the night, in the morning. I was screaming at this guy, literally, because he was yelling at me. And I was not, oh. And then the next day I was just repenting left and right. I said, you know, he got my blood up, I got his blood up, and we just, so be very careful in that area. Because some your words,
fresh.
Huh?
You didn't know. You weren't really. You were fresh.
I was very green, yeah. And so, I was unnecessarily saying things that was getting him angry enough for him to get angry at me. And then he said things that pushed my buttons and back and forth. So, it's best to do it as we see our Lord did it. Jesus was very gentle in his rebukes and reproaches and stuff. And that blessed many. That blessed billions, because people that read the scriptures can understand his character. Now let's do one more, because if I read the next one, it's way too long, and we're already... No, we're not that late. We've only been... I could probably get this next one in, too. So, Manuscript 3, February 1st, 1895. It says, it is the privilege and duty of every man to take God at his word, to believe in Jesus as his personal Savior, and to respond eagerly, immediately, to the gracious proposition which he makes. He is to study, to believe, and to obey the divine instruction in the Scriptures. You know, that's the sad thing about today. All they got to do is believe, and they don't have to obey. It's amazing how the devil has turned that around so much, completely. And it made it to where people do not have to, or makes them people think that they do not have to keep the law. They don't have to obey. If that's the case, why did Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden? If they don't have to obey, then they should have stayed in there. But going on, it says, he is to base his faith not on feeling, but on the evidence of the Word of God. Those who feel at liberty to question the Word of God, to doubt everything where there is any chance to be unbelieving, will find that it will require a tremendous struggle to have faith when trouble comes. It will be almost impossible to overcome the influence that binds the mind that has been educated in the line of unbelief. For by this course, the soul is bound to Satan's snare and becomes powerless to break the dreadful net that has been woven closer and closer about the soul. So the devil's pretty crafty in that respect. And when people, like she says, feel at liberty to question the Word of God, and lately, by the way, the Catholic Church just put out documentation about 6 months ago. I did a broadcast on this about how they said, you know, because they've hated the Bible since day one. They've always had a problem with sola scriptura. They've always been slamming the scriptures. That's one of the reasons they took out 2,000 verses. But they stated in writing that there's a large portion of the Bible that is not accurate, that's not to be believed. And that's where they ended it. They didn't tell you where. They didn't say where, even though there is no such place in the Bible. Because if they would have said where, well, then they would have had, you know, they would have had egg on their shirt, because thousands of pastors and preachers would have come forward and says, look, you're wrong here, you're wrong here, you're wrong here. So better yet, their strategy was to not say where the Bible has the errors. That way, when the newborn child of God, it comes to the scriptures, and like Sister White says, is basing, or they think they have liberty to doubt, they're going to go ahead and doubt, because they really don't know, since they're not a theologian, I don't know what part of this Bible is true and what part is not, so I'm going to take the chance and figure, okay, this part about adultery is probably not true, you know, because they like that part. You know, they like to do that sin. Or this part about drunkards not being allowed in heaven in 1 Corinthians, I won't believe that. No, I mean, come on, Jesus made wine. That's what they'll use. Even though they don't realize that the word wine is used both ways, fermented or unfermented, and Jesus never would have made fermented wine. He made grape juice. But and so this is what allows them to get more and more snared. If they don't have a trust, an absolute truth, there's no longer an absolute authority in people's lives. They can't look to the Bible and say, okay, that's what the Bible says, I believe it, that says it, and drops the subject and moves on in their life forward. That's how the Lord looks upon his child and sees a child worthy of blessings. But people that doubt and say, oh, there's a possibility that it's not that way, no blessings are going to come, and the snare that the devil puts on them gets tighter and tighter. Now let's do this last one. Manuscript 59, February 9th, 1895. I thought of a day when the judgment of God would be poured out upon the world, when blackness and horrible darkness would clothe the heavens as sackcloth of hair. My imagination anticipated what it must be in that period, when the Lord's mighty voice shall give commission to his angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath upon the earth, in Revelation 16:1. Thy right hand, O God, shall dash in pieces thine enemies, it says in Exodus 15:6 and Revelation 6. Or no, she says in Revelation 6 and 7 are full of meaning. Terrible are the judgments of God revealed. The seven angels stood before God to receive their commission. To them were given seven trumpets. The Lord was going forth. To them were given seven trumpets. The Lord was going forth to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth was to disclose her blood and no more cover her slain. But there are mercies mixed with judgment. The Lord has a people whom he will preserve. John beheld the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, it says in Revelation 7:1. Till the seal of the living God shall be placed upon those who love God and keep his commandments. Of course, that's Revelation 14:12 or Revelation 12:17. And that's one of the key features, well, that is the main two key features of Christianity. And that's the two areas that the devil always attacks. We were talking about this last night. The Jews are Sabbath keepers. But yet, they don't believe in Jesus. And then all the Christians out there believe in Jesus, but they're not Sabbath keepers. And so, and the Bible says the two major features of a Christian would be they keep the commandments and they believe in Jesus. So the devil doesn't care. As long as he breaks one part of the chain, as long as he gets you. The Jews don't believe in Jesus but keep the law. The Christians believe in Jesus but don't keep the law. So it's amazing how he works and how the people fall for it, but we do have to respect our enemy so that we know how to fight him and keep that armor. Going on, it says, the elements of nature are to be placed in the power of the angels of God. He holdeth the winds in his fists. He gathereth the waters in the hollow of his hand. He maketh the clouds his chariots. That's Psalm 29:10, Proverbs 30, verse 4, Isaiah 40, verse 12, and Psalm 104:3. The Lord is ruler of nations. The sequence of nature is under God's jurisdiction. John's attention was called to another scene. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, in Revelation 7:2. Who is this? The angel of the covenant. He comes from the sun rising. He is the day spring from on high. He is the light of the world. He cried as one who had superiority over the hosts of the angels in heaven, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads," in verses 2 and 3. Here is the divine and human united. The command is given to the four angels to hold in check the four winds until they receive his summons. Judgment and wrath were to be repressed only for a little space until a certain work was done. The message, the last message of warning and mercy, has been retarded in doing its work by the selfish love of many, the selfish love of ease, and the unfitness of man to do a work that needs to be done. We were just talking about this the other day. We're sitting on a nice soft couch, you know, and the temperature's kind of nice, kicking back, watching some TV, having a nice big plate of food. Remember we were talking about that the other day? And like all of a sudden, one day it's going to come where we're going to be sitting on a rock. It's going to be kind of cold out, and we're eating what we just picked off the ground, okay? We're getting, some of us may have to go to that point to have our faith tested in such a way because we're getting too, you know, much at ease. We got more visitors, huh? It's Jillian. So the dogs are going to start barking again, folks. If we can just keep this dog asleep. Open the door very quietly. There you go. Uh-oh.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't quite enough. So just expect it, folks. We might have some... There they go. Let her out. That's her mom. That's her master, so let her out. She's got to go say hi. She hasn't seen her in 2 weeks. We've been babysitting that dog. Okay, let me go on a little bit more. The angel that is to lighten the earth with his glory has waited for human instrumentalities through whom the light of heaven could shine. Okay, let me reread that because this is for us. The angel, well actually all this is for us, but you know what I'm talking about here. The angel that is to lighten the earth with his glory has waited for human instrumentalities through whom the light of heaven could shine. People that could walk perfectly with Christ, in other words. Partaking in that divine nature. And they thus cooperate to give in its sacred, solemn importance the message which is to decide the destiny of the world. But the churches are not awake. New life must enter into the churches. The last work of warning and mercy for a fallen world is being done. None are to be deceived, thinking to lay their individual work on somebody else. In other words, if you've got a job to do, if you've been called to do something, whatever that job is, it could be preaching, it could be writing tracts, it could be handing tracts, or sticking tracts in pockets in stores. You know, you go into a store, if you're shy, well, put tracts in the shirt pockets in Walmart. People buy a shirt, bring it home, there's a tract. Stick them inside books in libraries, or stick them inside books in bookstores. Or if you have wealth, you know, if the Lord has blessed you in that area, help the people that are doing the work. Or if you don't have wealth, well, you could do all the other things, passing out the tracts, or you could pray, you could, you know, there's all sorts of things you can do. Going on, it says, when this probationary period time shall close, there is no opportunity for those who have received the warning message. The proclamation of pardon and salvation and have refused, this is the grammar is messed up here again. The proclamation of pardon and salvation and have refused have turned from light and truth in acceptable fables to be justified. Mm-hmm. There is no second bidding to the marriage feast. In other words, one invitation. We got two extra animals in the house. Two little kittens. Okay. There is no second bidding to the marriage feast. No intermediate state when another call will be made to come to the heavenly feast, as Satan has been preaching is the case. And what do I mean? 7-year trib. He's been saying the 7-year trib thing is, I got a pet. I love kittens. But the 7-year trib thing, he's saying that there's going to be a secret rapture. Everybody knows that's how he's saying it. And then Jesus is going to come back at the end of 7 years. And there's then, of course, he tells another lie about the 1,000 years and says there's going to be 1,000 years of peace on earth and no one's going to die and all this other stuff. But in other words, he's saying there's a second chance. All the people that all of a sudden, like, some of us have seen that movie. I wouldn't spend any money on it, but a friend did give me the video. He saw it, and he gave me the video, and I watched that Left Behind thing. And all of a sudden, there's just clothing. Wherever people used to be, clothing and rings, and some of these people were just decked with jewelry because all of a sudden they're clothing, and there's all this jewelry there. And they're supposedly left the planet naked. You know, obviously the robe of light was upon them, if they understood theology in that respect, but they don't. And they suddenly disappeared magically in 3.5 or 7 years, but this particular video says 7 years later, Christ does come back. And those people that left come back with him, and I guess they have to go back into their, they don't even go back into the graves. People that supposedly are already in heaven go back into the graves to get their bodies. But anyway, that makes people think there's a second chance. You've got 7 years left now. As soon as you see the Christians leave, that's when you're going to have 7 years to get right with God. You're not going to have 7 nanoseconds. It's not going to be there. Okay, finishing up, it says, the work is before us individually. Our moral identity cannot be submerged in any human being. We shall be called of God to do our work according to our several ability, or our talents, or what we can do that somebody else can't do. There's things that I can do that you can't do, and vice versa. I know some of my kids can do things that I can't even fathom doing. You know? Continuing, it says, everyone who will hear the message and believe the truth will no longer be confined, bound to creeds, but will take the Bible as his guide, as the very creed of life, as the water of salvation. The very intensity of the light shining from heaven makes men messengers of truth and salvation. They cannot hold their peace. They have accepted the truth and emerged into the light shining in these last days. The message of warning is to be given with a deep sense of individual responsibility. What is the condition of those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus? If in families there are those who are refusing obedience to the Lord in keeping his Sabbath, then the seal cannot be placed upon them. Just because you're in a Sabbath-keeping family doesn't mean you're automatically going to go to heaven. The seal is a pledge from God of perfect security of his chosen ones, it says in Exodus chapter 31, verses 13 to 17. Sealing indicates you are God's chosen. He has appropriated you to himself. As the sealed of God, we are Christ's purchased possession, and no one shall pluck us out of his hands. This does not mean that you can't jump out, because people can jump out. No one can take us or force us out, but we can leave on our own accord, which sadly some do. And lastly, it says the seal given in the forehead is God, New Jerusalem. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Revelation 3, verse 12. We'll pick it up next week at letter 24, May 19th, 1895. We'll be back in a minute or two.